Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. God is good. How many of you came to learn something tonight? Praise God, came to learn something tonight, right? How would you like to learn how to have the Lord establish His covenant of prosperity with you in your life? How many of you know what Deuteronomy 8:18 says? It says this, "Don't forget the Lord your God, because it's He that's given you power to get wealth, so to establish the covenant." Did you know that you have a covenant with God for prosperity, increase, supply, and provision? Amen. Now, if you don't know that, you should go read it because it's in Deuteronomy. Amen. We have a covenant with God. Part of the covenant, part of the benefits package, part of the thing that Jesus died for was to take our poverty and give us instead His supply, His provision, His increase. His wealth. It says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. I know that some people get upset about that when you start talking about words like rich, wealth, money. People have left churches over those words. Well, you know, they're just preaching that prosperity gospel again. Well, yeah, I'm going to preach the prosperity gospel because it's part of the gospel. So I'm going to preach it. Amen. But the thing is, what I'm sure that most people have discovered is that that isn't working in most people's lives. It's just not working. The reason why is because most people don't understand that in a covenant, any agreement, any contract, that's what a covenant is, it's a contract, a binding contract, there is something required from both parties, from both sides. In order for the contract or the agreement or the covenant to work as it's supposed to, both people have to be doing their part. Mr. Attorney says, that's right. Gotta have it. And whatever it is that is in that agreement, whatever our part is, in order for us to receive from the other part, we have to do our part. Amen. Now you see, many people don't know that. They don't realize that. They don't understand that. But it's the same thing with, for example, sowing and reaping. Imagine this. Imagine me going through all the work of going out into the garden and plowing and tilling and fertilizing and cultivating and planting seeds and weeding. And then the time comes for harvest and I sit in the living room and I just say, well, where's my harvest? How come I don't have any food on the table? Come on now, God. Please supply all my need. Will you please? And I sit there. And day after day, I get thinner and thinner, losing more and more weight, all the while asking God, God, please, my harvest, my harvest, my harvest. Where is it? And all the while, it's sitting out in the garden, and all I got to do is walk out there and pick it. Right? Now, let's look at it from the reverse. Imagine me sitting on my couch come springtime. Oh, praise God for this harvest. I'm going to have a harvest this year. Oh, yes, I am. I'm going to have a big harvest. Glory to God. Thank God for the hundredfold harvest. Hallelujah. And I just sit on that couch all through the spring and never go plow and never go fertilize and never go weed and never go plant. And I get thinner and thinner and thinner. And then the fall comes and I look for the harvest and I need food. But there isn't any. And I go, well, now what's going on here? Oh, Lord, help me. Please, Lord. You promised me a harvest. Well, what happened? I didn't do my part. There's a part. There's a part that we have. You got your Bibles? Open up to 2 Corinthians, if you don't know this. I would recommend that anyone wanting to learn how the provision and the prosperity and the increase of God applies to the New Testament believer under the covenant that we have, read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9 on a daily, if not twice a day basis and ask God for wisdom and revelation on it, because it teaches the New Testament believer exactly how the principles of sowing and reaping and increase in the kingdom of God operate. Now, we have an inheritance that is given to us through the work that is done by Christ at the cross. Yet there is a principle of sowing and reaping. There is a principle of giving and receiving that is at operation. It's our spiritual laws that operate in the kingdom of God. And if we'll operate the laws the way the laws tell us to operate, we will have the results or the benefits of the covenant. Now, was that too deep for anybody? In other words, do what the Bible says to do the way the Bible says to do it, and you'll have what the Bible says you'll have when you do what the Bible says to do the way the Bible says to do it. It's real simple. Stick your hand in the fire and you'll get burned. Don't stick your hand in the fire and you won't get burned. Right? Now, most Christians, when it comes to the things of God, they want to excel mainly in the things of the Spirit. By that I mean word of wisdom, word of knowledge, special faith, prophecy, gifts of healings, working of miracles. They want to excel in these great spiritual things, don't they? Anybody here not want to? Now, if you don't, you're selfish. I'll just say it right out, because the Word of God says that you should want to, because it's not about you. But most people, when you think about the things that are available to the individual, the things of and pertaining to the Spirit, most people concentrate on that. They pray about that. Lord, give me the gift of prophecy. Lord, give me dreams and visions, gifts of healings and working of miracles. Give me these things. I want these things. And they'll pray about these things, and they'll study about them. And they got all kinds of books on them and everything else. And then when it comes to the things of supply and provision, they will spend the bulk of their time reading how to reap, because everybody wants a harvest, right? You know, when people read where Jesus said, there isn't anybody who's given lands or houses or mothers or brothers or sisters or daughters who will not receive back in this lifetime 100 times. Now, people read that, and what do most people concentrate on? Will not receive back in this lifetime 100 times. But they forget the first part. I said they forget the first part. There isn't anybody that has given. Now, see, now I'm just saying this because I know how that works. Because I used to do that. Oh man, I would have those things underlined. Hundredfold. Harvest. Receive. Prosperity. Increase. See, reap. I'd have all those things circled, underlined, and highlighted. Amen. And see, I want to excel in those things. How about you? Don't you want to excel in that? Wouldn't you like to have so much that bottom line is it, prosperity just dripped off you? Think about it. Wouldn't you? You walk down the street and money just falls out of your pocket. You leave a trail of coins and bills. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Do you know that that's not unreasonable? You remember the Schultz character, Pigpen, where he would walk and there'd be this cloud of dust and everything just behind him? Well, you know, wouldn't you like that to be prosperity? Just walking down and there's just this cloud of prosperity around you. Just, you know, people follow you around and say, oh, there's a dollar. Oh, there's a 10. Oh, let's go with that guy. Let's go with that girl. There's something happening, right? Did you know that's what God says in Deuteronomy 8:18 is exactly what he said is supposed to be happening? He said, I'm the one that's given you the power to get wealth to establish the covenant. What's the covenant about? The covenant is for us to have so much, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he has made so much grace abound towards us, so that we, having all sufficiency in all things, by that it literally means, if you study that out in the Greek, it means to be totally self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid, no support of any kind for any reason, having more than enough to abound, to overflow into every good work and every charitable contribution. In other words, whenever there's a need, you are capable of meeting it. You walk around and prosperity drips off of you. How many of you know God isn't poor? You know, God doesn't have to pull up the pavement and sell it in order to meet the needs of heaven. Pavement's made of gold, right? So he doesn't go melting down curbsides and stuff and say, well, we're a little short here. The light bills is just, it's been going over time this week. God has more than enough. Now, whether you know that or not, you and I are children of the Most High God. Well, now, if Daddy has all that, and that's our inheritance, guess what belongs to you and I? You know, when God walks, He would be dripping with prosperity. He'd be leaving that little cloud behind Him of gold and silver and jewels and money and everything else. And by the way, it's not so that He can stand up and say, look at how rich I am. It's so that everybody that is around Him can enjoy the benefit of it. That's the covenant. But see, so many people focus on the reaping, on the getting. For you know the grace of God that though He was rich, He became poor for our sakes, that through His poverty we might become rich. And everybody's thinking, well, they circle that, I might become rich, praise God. And they circle that. And that is all the grace of God. But there's our part too. There's something that most people miss when it comes to this subject. How many of you want to know what it is? Anybody? Well, how many of you want to move from where you are to where God has ordained for you? So let me ask you again, how many of you want to know what it is? Do you know, one of the best decisions I ever made was to tell the Lord and say, listen, when I miss it, would you please tell me? Just tell me. And if I don't hear you the first time, would you tell me again? Because I want to know if I'm missing it. You know why I want to know if I'm missing it? So I can get it right. Because if I get it right, then I'll have what the Bible says I can have. I don't want to have it wrong. You know, if I'm not having what the Bible says I can have, do you know it's not God? It's me. I'm missing something. So might as well find out what it is. How many times have you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8? It should be a lot. Seeing as how last year was pretty much concentrating on 2 Corinthians 8 every week, right? Praise God. But you know, there's things that we can miss even though we read it. I missed it for years. Can I show you something? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, praise God, it says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we want you to know of the grace of God. Everybody say the grace of God. This is a grace we're talking about. Would you agree? We want you to know about the grace, the favor and spiritual blessing of God that has been evident in the churches of Macedonia, arousing them in the desire to give. The grace of God was so heavy upon them that aroused in them the desire to give. Did you see that? Here's the grace of God in operation. Guess what the grace of God manifests? A desire to give. And it says, for in the midst of an ordeal of severe tribulation, how many of you have ever been in an ordeal of severe tribulation when it comes to man, oh man, how are we going to pay these things? Ever been there? How are we going to pay these bills? But it says, in the midst of an ordeal of severe tribulation, their abundance of joy and the depth of their poverty. Anybody here ever been in the depths of poverty? Not like they have, but we've been in the place to where we've had some real lack and want, right? It says, in the depth of their poverty have overflowed in wealth of lavish generosity on their part. I'm reading out of the Amplified if you haven't figured that out yet. For I can bear them witness that they gave not only according to their ability. Well, praise God, we all give according to our ability, right? But these folks were able to give, what's the word say? Beyond their ability. How do you give beyond your ability if it's not the supernatural manifestation of God giving you something in your life? Because, you know, you can only give what you got. But if you can give beyond what you have, God's doing something. Would you agree with that? It's supernatural, right? They gave beyond it. And look at verse 4. Praying with us, much entreaty. Do you know what that means? Praying with us, with much entreaty. It means begging us. They begged us. Let me read it in the Amplified. Begging us most insistently for the privilege of contributing to this ministry. How many of you have ever gone to your pastor, teacher, Bible study, fellow, church, and said, listen, I'm begging you, please, please, let me give you more, please, I'm begging you. And they said, no, 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 I know you, no, 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 please, I'm begging you, I'm begging you. How many of you have ever done that? My wife and I have. Do you know why? Because I want what God says I can have when I do that. Let's keep reading. Now look at what's going on here. They're in poverty. They're in lack. Matter of fact, it's so bad, there is what, it's what the Word of God calls severe ordeal. This is how bad it is. Yet they're running. They go to Paul and say, we're begging you. Please, let us do this. Let us do more than what we're doing. Please, I'm begging you. And so verse 5. Now, and this they did. Not as we hoped, but first they gave themselves to the Lord, and then unto us by the will of God. Whose will was it for them to do what they were doing? It was God's will. In other words, they were responding to God's will. How many of you know God's not a respecter of persons? God's not a respecter of persons. Guess what God's will for us to do is? Praise God. Insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. Everybody say grace. Grace always. The same grace. Now we're talking about grace. He's saying, listen, we want you to be blessed with the same grace. Is this what it says? We want you to be blessed with this same grace. Therefore, now look at verse 7. Here's what I was working up to. As you abound in everything else, praise God, in faith, praise God. We all want to abound in faith, right? Right? In utterance and in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us. Let's read that in Amplified. Now, as you abound and excel and are at the front in everything, in faith, in knowledge, in all zeal, and in your love for us. So here we are, where most Christians are. Praise God, I want to be operating in more faith. Thank God for the grace of God. And I want to know more. I want more wisdom and revelation. Praise God, I want that. And we're praying for that. Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen? And we want to be able to operate and be diligent and be faithful. Father God, make me faithful. Well, you know, God's not going to make you faithful anyway. You know, it's something we make ourselves. God's going to help us. Amen. But look what he says here. Talking about giving, he says, now seeing as how you've got a desire and you're abounding into all those other things and seeking to excel in those things, look what it says at the end of verse 7. It says, see to it that you abound in this grace of giving too. Did you know that there's a grace of giving? It's been our desire for years, not just to give, but to excel in it. In other words, we don't just want to be givers. We don't even just want to be generous givers. We want to excel in the grace of giving because it's a grace. It's a supernatural manifestation of God on you in your finances. Isn't that what it says? Seek that you excel, seek to abound in this grace. In other words, it is unmerited favor and spiritual blessing. Now, what does the Word of God say about seeking something? When you seek me with all your heart, that's when you'll find me. Do you know the reasons why most people can't operate in that grace and don't operate in that grace? Because they're not seeking to excel in the grace of giving. Most Christians are seeking to excel in the grace of receiving. Our lives turned around. Our finances turned around when we decided to go with the grace of giving and let the receiving end. We'll just let God multiply it and get it. He'll get it to us. Yep. Things began to change. I'm just teaching you what we've learned. This is what the Word says, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Seek to excel in this grace of giving. How many of you want to seek to excel in the grace of receiving? You can't reap what you haven't sown. You can't operate in something that you don't operate in. Most people think they're operating. They really do. They think they're operating in faith for receiving an abundant harvest, and they're really not. They just think they are. Because the Word of God says, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If we think that we're going to operate and believe God for a big harvest, but we're not going to do what God says to do as regards to sowing and giving, we've deceived ourselves. And here's the thing. This is a revelation for you if you'll take it. I know it's information now, but if you'll meditate on this and ask God to show it to you, you'll see it. This is a grace. This is a supernatural endowment by the Holy Ghost. It's a supernatural power that will come upon you and your finances when you decide that you want to operate in that. But you know, God's not going to force anything on you or me. He's not going to make us be big givers. Did you know that? He's not going to make us give beyond our ability. He's not. He's not going to make us put something in the offering basket when it goes around. He hasn't yet, has he? Hasn't forced you to do anything. He's not going to make you give into people that you don't even like, is he? No, he doesn't. He's not going to make you do that. He's not going to make you stop, turn around, and go back and pick that person up that was walking on the side of the road that you drove by, and you knew inside you should have picked him up. He's not going to make you do that. He hasn't yet. Amen. He's not going to make you serve in the church. He's not going to make you join the or be part of the helps ministry and clean toilets. He's not going to make you do that. You know, that's all part of the grace of giving. When we give our time, when we give our finances, when we give of ourselves, you know, he's not going to make you love somebody that you can't even stand to be in the same room with. He's not. See, if we'll take what the Word of God says and actually do it, did you know that the results will be supernatural? There's power that's released. And you know, if you keep on reading this whole passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you finally come to the end of what all this is all about. And it says, and when you do all this, then God is able to make all of this grace abound towards you so that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. NIV says, so that you being made rich in every way and everything at all times. That's how it works. How many of you want some of the Word working some of the time in your life? All of it, all the time. Amen. Guess what we have to do? And you know the Word of God says it's not hard? You know why? Because it takes faith. Did you know all it takes for us to want to increase our giving, our ability to give? Listen to me now. All it takes is faith. It doesn't take a second job. It doesn't take it working extra hours. It doesn't take working overtime. All it takes is faith. You know, when God tells you to do something, it stops being a money issue and starts being a faith issue. Did you know that? It just becomes faith. Did you know that God is able to do everything and anything according to the power that works in us, not according to your second job? Did you know that? This is good teaching, you know. It's the truth. Well, imagine yourself in this position. Imagine yourself in a place where you can't afford to pay your bills. The interest alone on your credit cards is somewhere around $1,400 a month. Just imagine that. And imagine between you and your spouse, you're working three jobs. Imagine that. And if you don't buy anything else for the next 32 years, you'll pay that all off. You don't blow out a tire, have to buy a new set of tires. Your blinker doesn't go out on your car. You don't run out of laundry soap. Your insurance doesn't go up. You don't need to paint your house. No plumbing problems. And you don't need to buy any more food because you got enough. 32 years. Imagine that. And you go before God and you say, look at, well, we're going to go bankrupt here. We can't pay these bills. We have no choice. Because if we don't go bankrupt, we're going to lose the house or the car and everything else. So we got to do something. And the Lord says, oh, no, you don't. But Lord, everybody else is. Yeah, I know they are, but you're not. Well, why not? Everybody else is. And the Lord says to you, because the wicked borrow and pay not again. So you're going to pay these bills. But Lord, we can't. Right. You can't. But the two of us together, we can. You get me involved in this stuff and we'll get it done. And I'll tell you how. And so we say, how, Lord? And he says, well, go to the Word and start doing what I told you to do in the Word of God and believe it. And you watch and see what happens. Oh, and by the way, I want you to quit your job. Well, now, doesn't that make a lot of sense? Oh, and tell your wife to quit her job, too. Now, see, him telling me to quit my business, that was one thing. But for me to go to my wife and say, you know, the Lord wants you to quit your second job, I said, that's as far as I go. You want her to quit, you tell her. Because she'll believe you. She won't believe me. But he did. So now, if you can't pay your bills on three jobs, how are you going to do it on one? How are you going to do it on one? There's only one thing. See, it stops being a money issue and starts being a faith issue. I'm just telling you what we did. We were so far in debt, but we followed what God said. These things I'm teaching you right here. We said we want to excel in the grace of giving. He said, all right, let's see. See where it says giving beyond their ability? Let's try that one out. What do you mean? Oh, that's a good one right there. I want you to do this. But Lord, we can't afford that. I didn't ask you if you could afford it. I said, I want you to do this. You might not be able to afford it, but I can. And if you will sow the seed, I'll meet your need. You sow the seed when God tells you. He'll meet your needs. Every time. Every time. We gave beyond our ability every week. And it wasn't just for a couple of weeks. It was week after week, month after month, for a couple of years, living on a zero balance. But you know, I'll tell you what, living on a zero balance in your bank account is a whole lot better than owing or being behind $500 to $1,000 every month, because all the needs are being met, but they're being met by faith, by God. He brought them in. He'll do the same thing for you. But it says to excel in this grace of giving. There is a grace. That's why I tell people, never, never, ever, under any circumstances, let an opportunity to give into an offering go by. Not here, not at your church, not at a guest ministry, not ever. Don't ever do it. You know why? Because you're not excelling in the grace of giving. Never let an opportunity go by. That's the first thing to start. Just purpose to yourself. Even if I have to put my shoe in there, I'm going to put something in there. Well, we see. I mean, I've got jewelry in that thing right there that people have put in there because they didn't have anything else. Excel in the grace of giving. Amen. And this wasn't all about to try to manipulate you and to give more money. It's about to teach you how this thing works. How many of you got bills you'd like to see paid off? A mortgage? Car payment? Credit cards? Like to have them paid off? God will do it for you. You know He doesn't want you in debt. You know God doesn't want you in debt. How many of you, even if you don't have bills, have some things that you certainly would like to do that's going to require a few dollars to do it? You know, God wants you to have that too. Amen. And when you do this, this is a supernatural thing. Whether you know this or not, it's not just throwing money in a basket. That's not what we do. We do it reverently. We do it with understanding that this is a promise of God. God has said, he that soweth generously will reap generously. But it says to honor God, right? Honor, do it right. You know, I don't just go out into my garden and just throw some seed in there and say, well, just praise God, I'm going to have a garden. I do it right. I understand how this seed has to be planted. So I make sure that the ground that it's going into is well prepared. Amen. And I make sure I put that seed in there properly. But you want to make sure you plant the seed properly. Hold it up to the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to sow. You told us that this is a grace. You told us that it's something supernatural. And you gave us a promise over it. You told us, Lord, you said to us, that when we give, it'll be given back unto us. You told us in your word that you minister seed to the sower and bread for food, and that you multiply the seed sown and increased our harvest, Father. And so we believe you. And because we believe you, we do our part in honoring you, our part of the covenant. And that is to give good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We give big. And men give back to us the same way. We thank you, Father, that because we sow generously, we have a generous harvest waiting for us. That, Father God, you make all grace abound towards us so that we always have all sufficiency in all things. And we're able to abound to every good work, every charitable donation, every need that comes our way. We're ready, willing, and able to go ahead and minister to it. We thank you for that. Just for that privilege and the honor of representing you here on this planet. And showing your goodness to everyone, Father, in every way. And so we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor now and forever and ever. In Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, you can say.
Hello, friends. This is Reverend Slide Moran. Did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.BibleCities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says donate by check or money order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.